Well, as you know, it's the fifth Sunday of the month, and if you didn't know that, now you do. And what that means around here is that it's Mission Sunday, and so we have an opportunity to hear about what God is doing both near and far, and how God is using his people in his world to accomplish his purposes. And so we have the privilege of hearing from Tim Mason with World Relief. And Tim Mason is actually one of the first people I got to know outside of NCF when I moved here in 2012, because he was the camp director at Riverview Bible Camp, and now he's with World Relief. So we have the privilege of hearing what God is doing through World Relief and the opportunities we have to serve as well. So would you give Tim Mason a welcome?
Yeah, thank you, Matt. Thanks for allowing me to be here. Yeah, so, and it's been fun seeing people, friendly faces from camp. I was the director up until the end of 2024 for 21 years, camp. And so you guys have been a big part of what we were doing up there. And it was interesting because I knew I was leaving camp. It was going to be done at the end of the year. And so I had that, okay, what am I going to do next, Lord? What do you got for me? I'm not quite ready to retire. Sounds nice, but I don't think I could handle that very well. I wanted to be involved in God's kingdom building. I was like, Lord, I don't know. I feel like you can be in God's will anywhere you're at if you're seeking him and you're pursuing his holiness. But I wanted to be part of his mission kingdom. And more importantly, I wanted to be a part of a ministry that's doing, right? That's active, that's engaged, that's moving. You know anything about camping ministry, you would know that there's not a lot of time to sit around. You don't have that luxury with the camp, and I know there are people in here that's actually worked for me up at camp, and they'll tell you, no sitting around, we're going, right? So the Lord led me through connections to World Relief, and I've been with them now for all 3 months, so I'm an expert in everything World Relief, got it all figured out. I'm learning a lot. And I'm really honest. I was honest with the first service. I've been so busy with running a camp. I was teaching at Moody Bible College as a professor there, coaching wrestling at Mead, four boys. Anything to do with refugees, I had no clue. I had never heard a message about refugees. I did the MA in theology program at Whitworth, never learned about refugees, the ministry of refugees, just nothing. I shared with the first service, I knew Tom Petty sang a song about not living like a refugee. And that was about the extent of it. And so it has been, I've been immersed in the world of refugees. And more importantly, in the world of World Relief. And what I wanted to do this morning, you guys, this is a Mission Sunday. And this is fantastic that you guys do this. You take that fifth Sunday and say, we're missional, we're out, we're going, we're doing. Because if you think of the word mission, you're thinking you're going, you're active, you're doing stuff. I think there are two kinds of people in the world, the ones who make things happen and the ones who wonder what happened, right? And I just can't, I want to be in the camp that's going and doing. And it's important too, so we were invited here, Matt and Pastor Mark, they invited us to come and share with you guys, trusting that this is a good ministry, that this is an important ministry. This ministry is involved in partnering with God to increase his kingdom. That was important to me. You know, I'm like, I want to be a part of something big and God-focused. World Relief is that. And what I'm going to do this morning is I'm going to share with you a little bit of the history and some of the big highlights they've done. They've been going globally for quite a while. I'm going to share some of that, and then I'm going to share with you some of the scriptures that I believe God's speaking through his word that's saying, this is why they do what they do. Because we all have that. Like, why do you do what you do? It's your mission, right? What are we doing? Well, World Relief is actively engaged globally as we speak right now. I'm going to share with you what we do here in Spokane, but they just know they're all over the globe. There's thousands and thousands of Christians involved with World Relief around the planet. But I'm going to share with you some of the history because I found it pretty fascinating because I always wonder why and what are they going on. So in 1944, a bunch of Christians in New York City knew that Europe was blown to smithereens. World War II, got to be horrific. You know, you're seeing the newsreels, you're hearing all this stuff. So a bunch of Christians in New York said, we got to do something. We got to help these people. So they started collecting food and clothes by the pallets, started gathering, then worked with a bunch of churches in Europe and got that to people. They're like, we got to do something. because most of Europe has been blown away, and we got to do something. And they came up with a motto. They said, food for the body, food for the soul. I like that. Food for the body, food for the soul. And so they started right off the bat doing that and getting very active and engaged. And they kept moving. They were like, okay, God is up to something. He's using us. So they kept going. They started doing that in the 40s and the 50s. They changed their name from the World War Relief Commission to World Relief. Launched a program right in Korea. started serving over 31,000 meals a day for a bunch of starving people in the country of Korea. Made 140 feeding centers. They wanted to say, let's at least provide something. Let's get going. Let's be active. And it's really neat as they started partnering with a bunch of evangelical churches here in America and around. They said, we as the body of Christ need to be doing this. We're going to be involved and we're going to get engaged and we're going to do this stuff. So they just started connecting with churches, networking with churches and saying, hey, you love Jesus? Well, let's go show the world we love Jesus. Let's do this stuff because there's a lot going on that we can do. In the 60s, the early 60s, they partnered with President Kennedy's Food for Peace and started getting food to the world's poorest places, the places that nobody has food. We're going to help. We're going to do whatever it takes. We're going to send people. We're going to raise money. We're going to find food. We're going to show them how to raise food. We're going to get people so they can at least have something to eat, right? Baseline stuff. In Taiwan, they started helping with they call aid for lepers. They were dealing with all the leprosy outbreak going on there. They were like, let's get engaged. Let's get involved. Here in Egypt, there were just thousands of orphans. They was like, well, we know God's heart is for the widow and the orphan. Let's get cracking. Let's do something. Let's do something. I'm hoping you're catching a theme here. We're doing stuff. So And throughout the 60s, they started working in Vietnam, working in Christian hospitals. They started helping in Hong Kong, feeding 2,000 vulnerable and homeless children. Like, we got to do something. Let's help these people. Let's keep going. Chile, they started a food for work program and assisting about 94,000 people daily and just helping, getting engaged. In the 70s, went to Peru, massive earthquake that started providing aid, started getting help. And remember, this whole time they're partnering with the church. Their whole mission, the mission of World Relief, is to partner with God's church to meet the world's biggest crises. That's their whole thing. It's like, there's things going on around the globe and we got to get actively engaged and get involved. So they focused, said, we're going to partner with the church. We're going to stay with it. In Bangladesh in the 70s, a massive, devastating cyclone ended up creating 200,000 orphans. Meaning 200,000 kids lost their parents. No help. They said, well, that's us. We're the church. Let's go love these kids. That's what they did. They jumped in and just started doing. Put in 200 wells for these kids. Started distributing food, rebuilding homes, everything. In 1972 in Vietnam, they helped. There was another war going on. They started helping 100,000 people that were displaced by that war. Just needed help, needed something, needed anything, right? Helping them with that. Went to Ethiopia in the 70s, started dealing with the famine there. Cambodia, massive people being literally slaughtered in the Khmer Rouge genocide, slaughtered. If they could get out, World Relief's going to help them. We're going to help you. We're going to be there for you. We're going to get involved and help you. 1979 is where it kicks in, where it involves the actual United States, where we're not just going and doing, and we're not just sending. They started the partnership with the United States government. We started the whole refugee resettlement, and that's what we do in Spokane. I'm not familiar with what that looks like, but there's right now in America, World Relief is in 27 cities. Working contract with the federal government to help refugee resettlement. And I'll explain to you more what that looks like here in a minute, but they're helping the refugees, and that's a big role of what we do here in Spokane. And it's cool because at that time, the only Christian organization the government would partner with was World Relief. And it's like, no, these guys mean business. They had earned the right for that because they've been around the globe caring for people and taking care of them, and they said, we're going to work with these guys. They actually get things done, right? In the 80s, hit the Philippines. just started working with massive, the Philippines was just ravaged with natural disasters, political, economic, and their country was just devastated. Started helping them, and here's something really neat I found out. Between 1980 and 1990, World Relief helped more than 10,000 new churches start. 10,000 churches going in that decade. It's just great. 1983, Moses, or as we know, Charlton Heston, played Moses. Come on, you guys know that. The old Moses. Anyhow, he did a TV special with them. It's called When Will the Dying Stop? A focus on India and Bangladesh horrors that's going on there. But here's something cool Charlton Heston said. He said, World Relief had shown him the importance of empowering the poor to improve their own lives. Let me say that again, and I'll tell you how that applies to what we do. World Relief had showed him the importance of empowering the poor to improve their own lives. I've caught that. So I've been, you know, I haven't been with World Relief that long, but I'll tell you what, the staff that works for World Relief and the volunteers, they're not there just to kind of just keep helping these people forever. They're like going, let's get you to independence. Let's get you to citizenship. Let's help you so that you learn and you can do these things, that you can grow. Great example, and I got an article on that table back there. A gentleman, he's in his house. He's from Syria. Bombs just start dropping. His town, it was like I was telling the first week, if you looked out the window in Spokane, just started being bombs away. That's what he experienced. Just all of a sudden, his town is being blown up. Nothing he can do about it except flee. He trucks it, gets out, goes to a refugee camp. I want to say he lived in a tent close to a decade. Now he's in Spokane, citizen, has a restaurant on Sprague. He's hiring people. He's employing people. He's living his dream. It's called the Arabian Palace. Good food. And but he just, you know, got going with that. 1985, and this is what really attracts me, and I just love this. World Relief changed their motto. They said, when all is said and done, make sure more is done than said. Right? We like action. We like doing that, right? And that ties into the book of James, because James says, don't just be merely a hearer of the word, be a doer of the word. Right? Don't just listen to the word, walk away as if nothing happened. Because God is calling us all to action. We are called to be the hands and feet of Jesus. So they changed that, and I just love that motto. They helped in the 80s. They were in El Salvador, helped rebuild 5,500 homes after a massive earthquake. They were in Mozambique, World Relief in 1889, shelter for 10,000 victims of war. They had Rwanda. Oh, my goodness sakes. Genocide in Rwanda. I mean, this stuff seems so distant from us, but not to a lot of people that live in Spokane. They know these stories. They know it from their parents, or they experience this stuff. Helped 42,000 traumatized and displaced people. Mobilized in Mozambique, helping AIDS awareness get to 2,000. They're right here. So you would think, you know, they're around the globe. Well, when 9/11 hit and we were attacked by terrorists, one of the biggest ministries involved right there, providing trauma training and support and Christ-centered counseling and available at the attacks, was World Relief. Really cool. In Mozambique in 2003, they came in because these kids, so many thousands of kids were dying of various things. And they said, we got to change this. They came in and got 91% of children fully vaccinated. They got 97 malnourished children food. Got them food. I mean, these kids didn't have food. They got them food. And 85%, they got mosquito nets so they could sleep under mosquito nets and protect them. So keeps going on. 2004, I don't know how people remember the horrific tsunami that happened in Asia. They were right there. Nonstop, fighting like mad, helping those people. Hurricane Katrina hits here, our Gulf Coast, right there, helping people, helping in war-torn Darfur. They were just, they've been everywhere doing all kinds of stuff. 2010 celebrated 70 years of full worldwide global ministry helping people. It's been awesome. They have helped so many and continue to do. World Relief is all over the globe right now. And in Spokane, doing amazing things globally. A couple thousand employees and then tens of thousands of volunteers partnering with them and joining with them in the mission through the church to reach a broken and hurting world. Just awesome stuff. So I ask myself, I get involved with this and I start thinking, and I start going, why? You know, I'm wondering why. First My first week on the job, I meet some people. I go to this church partner breakfast, and I meet some people so passionate about helping our new neighbors, these refugees that have come into America and desperately need help. And it blew my mind. I was like, I got to go meet these guys individually. So there were two of them. I set up a coffee time with each one of them. One was a senior pastor, or is a senior pastor. Another one just heavily, heavily involved, and got with them because I was like, why? And through listening to them talk, like, why are you so passionate about helping the refugees world, helping worldwide working through relief, but then specifically in Spokane with refugees resettlement? I really listened to them. I wanted to hear why, because, you know, we all can have things we're passionate about, and I've met a ton of people very passionate about this. I want to take you through some scripture that I think is the why, is what the driving force. So, I mean, we got the whole counsel of God, but there's some scripture that I think really speaks to this. So if you have your Bible, I'm sure you all do. Pastor Mark, you make sure everybody has their Bible here, right, Pastor Mark? Okay. Proverbs 31:9 says this. Proverbs 31:9. This is where they take, World Relief takes the Word of God. They take the Word of God literally, and these are some proof of this. It says, Proverbs 31:9 says this, open your mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy. Plead the cause of the poor and needy. I will tell you this, in my experience with World Relief and what I'm experiencing, these folks are very vulnerable and very needy. They have been invited here by the United States government, and I'll tell you more how that process plays out. They're here. They're very poor. They're given very limited funds, and actually in the last 2 months, those funds have been completely cut off to even help them that they were promised. They're very vulnerable, very needy, and they need somebody to speak up for them. A lot of them come here, they can't speak English. I mean, they had no idea. Their whole world was just placed from their one country to a tent for a decade or more. They need help. They need help. They need somebody to advocate for them. World Relief advocates for them, fights for them, speaks up for them, and says, pitch in and help out. Pitch in and help out. And I will tell you, the Spokane community has been incredible in my experience. From volunteerism to donations, they're saying, let's come alongside our new neighbors and love them. It's been awesome. Galatians 2:10. So the Apostle Paul says this. He goes, you know, they desired, he's talking about other believers in Christ, only that we should remember the poor, the very thing which I was also eager to do. I like the way Paul says that. I was eager to do. We were excited to do. I want to help the poor. That's the people I've been rubbing elbows with, so many volunteers that are just so wanting to help these people, these poor people. They want to get involved. They want to get engaged. They want to help. You know, I'm like, God, give me a heart like that for the poor and the needy and the vulnerable. Going back to Proverbs 22:9. I know I'm going fast. Proverbs 22:9. I love this because I've been listening to it. As a matter of fact, at the end of the last service, I just talked to a couple, and she told me that this is very true, and she experienced it firsthand with some refugees. Proverbs 22:9 says this, the generous themselves will be blessed, for they share their food with the poor. And think about that for a minute. The Word of God says the generous themselves will be blessed, for they share their food with the poor. How does that work? That's God's economy. Because I'm telling you, I have talked to more people involved with World Relief at different levels that just light up when they go, I've gotten so much more out giving to these folks and helping them learn English, how to ride a bus, where to go to school, taking them to the doctor, participating in their lives. I've been blessed far more than I've ever given to them. And they're not kidding. And like I said, the lady just back by that table is just telling me about this mom with her four kids and the impact they had on their lives, that this family came over desperately needy and they said, let's pour in and help. So you're blessed. And it's just God's economy how that works. Two more scriptures. Deuteronomy 15:11. I found this, I've been reading the Bible for a long time, and it's awesome how it's living and active, and then God will bring things up, and you're like, oh, I see. I hadn't seen that for a while. Read that about a dozen times. Now I see it, right? Deuteronomy 15:11. God talking. For the poor will never cease from the land. We know that. Jesus said we're always going to have the poor with us. Made it clear. Therefore, I command you, saying, you shall open your hand wide to your brother. Then he says this, to your poor. It doesn't say my poor. It says your poor, your needy in your land. Whose? Your land. God is saying, you're poor, you're needy in your land. You're to jump in and pitch in and help them. Didn't say if you felt like doing it on Tuesday. He said, you jump in. You help. I was with a pastor from the Valley, Intersection Church, awesome guy. And he just told me this story, just not this Thursday, last Thursday. We're having there. He goes, because his church is getting involved. It's really cool. They're very, very excited to pitch in and help. Part of what got him really thinking about this was he lives out by University High School. He took his wife. I think she works there or close to it. I wasn't sure what he was saying. But they drove by and there was this family, husband, a man and a lady and a few kids. And they're on the corner of the street and they're just standing there. And he could tell they weren't from Spokane. Wasn't sure where they're from. But he noticed they were there and he dropped his wife off. Well, a couple hours later, he had to drive back by to pick his wife up or take something to her. She was working right by there. So they're still there. This is 2 hours later. They're at the same corner just standing there. So he tells his wife, and she said, oh, we got to go find out what's going on. Why are they still there? He goes, could barely speak English, but they thought they were at a bus stop and they needed to get their kids to school. And they had no idea. They just didn't know. You realize they just don't know what you don't know, right? And they was like, we got to do something. Oh, my goodness sakes, these poor people. Who knows how long they'd have been there? And they got them to where they needed to be and went, we got to do more. These poor people, they know that stuff. So it's interesting. And we're going to talk about the ways that all of us believers, all of us can get engaged and help. So the last scripture I'm going to give you, this is the one for me that I went, okay, God, I get it. Leviticus 19:33. So if you have your Bible, go to Leviticus 19:33. This is very important. Because this is a commandment from God. Just like Deuteronomy, this is God's command. In the original language, the word stranger is ger. It's somebody out of country, in your country. What we have, refugees, that's what they are, right? Leviticus 19:33 says this, if a stranger dwells with you in your land, you shall not mistreat him. You shall not mistreat him. The stranger who dwells among you shall be to you as one born among you. And you shall love him as yourself. For you were strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. And I like how God reminded them. Do you remember when you were strangers in a different land? How'd that go for you? Was that a good time? That was kind of rough. Right? He's reminding them, hey, you know what? You know what it feels like, right? Now you have this opportunity. There are strangers in your land. You are to love them as yourself. Come alongside them and love them. This is a tough go. You know, if you've been to a foreign country and you don't learn a language, and I've taken youth on mission trips and I don't know the language, I don't know what's going on, it's kind of nerve-wracking. It really is. Like, I hope that guy's being honest with me. I don't know, right? This is what God has called us to do in regards to the refugees that are here. So now let me share with you Word Relief Spokane, what we do, what we're a part of, and what it's like for us. And I want to kind of give you a slice, a picture. And I know this just because I've talked to several refugees. And they're here for various reasons. They're here because of either religious persecution, political persecution, natural disasters or war. For one reason or another, they had to leave their country. First refugee I talked to, I sat next to him. He was from Bhutan. No clue. He tells me, I go, hey, where are you from? And he says, Bhutan. Oh, where's that? I have no clue. He pulls it up on his phone and shows me it's below China. I go, oh, okay, well, why are you here? Well, my family came to faith in Christ and the Buddhists were going to kill us. We're dead. We can't be Christians here. So we had to bolt and run for our lives. Like, you know, you hear that stuff, but then you're sitting next to a guy that's like, for real? Like, I thought Buddhists just burned incense and were nice and sweet. And I was so caught off guard by what he said, I followed up with a really smart question. I go, well, do you ever want to go back and see your country? It's like, no, I would be killed. Like, you don't get this. They don't, you're not allowed. Just amazing to me, right? So whether it's that, the Syrian gentleman I told you about, I've got stories on the back of that table there. A gal from Iran came through World Relief. They became Christians and targeted for death. I got a story back there of a guy, and he's involved with World Relief. He was helping our soldiers. He was helping us in Afghanistan. And, you know, we bolted from Afghanistan, left him there, and he gets targeted, and his family gets targeted for death. They blow up his car, kill his driver, and then he, through secret channels, this and that, he gets out. But they were the Taliban was looking for him to kill him. It's that simple. And I listened to him give this message. I would listen to him speak, and I'm like, God, that's like he's a movie. So I'm listening to a guy tell a movie. I can't relate to this. He's such a sweet guy and just grateful to be here. So you go through something like that, and you flee your country, you end up in a tent, refugee camp, refugee tent. You want to look some of this up on your phone, and you're like, you got to be kidding me. This is their life. And I'm talking millions of people right now have no country. No country. They're in a tent. Sometimes 15, 20 years. Literally, what you get for food in a refugee tent is you're going to get rice, you're going to get beans or lentils, you're going to get cooking oil. That's your meal every day. For most of them, at least 10 years. That's what you get, and then you go find clean water, right? When it comes to the United States, we're one of the few countries that take in refugees. You're going to then, during that time, be vetted. Multiple government agencies from the United States government is going to interview you. And they're not going to be nice about it because they need to find out if you're going to come here and cause trouble. So you're going to hear from Homeland Security, the FBI, Department of Defense. They're going to grill you and find out that you're set. And then at some point for them, they get contacted and said, you can come to America. Grab all your stuff, everything you got, you're on a plane tomorrow. So you don't speak English, you got no idea what's going on, you've been in a tent for 10 years, and now you just found out that you got a plane ticket, you got to grab your family and get to the airport. And by the way, I found out it's not even a gift. They have to pay that ticket back in 6 months. The 6 months, they get a bill for that plane ticket. I know, I was like, yeah, they haven't gone through enough, let's charge them. So that being said, but the ones that we work with, World Relief, the refugees we work with have been thoroughly vetted, then they get invited here, and then we get to greet them at the airport. And the philosophy, the thing with World Relief that's so awesome is they want the church to be the ones to greet them when they show up. Half of them are Christian that have left. Literally, they say about 50% had to leave their country because of their faith in Christ. The other half don't know Jesus. So who do you want to have them greet them? The church, right? So it's awesome. There was even teams from like First Presbyterian. They ask, can we be the greeter team? Every time a family comes in, we want to greet them with the love of God and be a part of that. Before they show up, employees with World Relief and volunteer teams start working on, do the kids have any medical issues? We got to line them for doctors. We got to find them jobs. They start working jobs. We got to find them housing. They work beforehand before they even show up, and they go through all that. So then when they get here, we just start helping. We just put our arms around them and say, we're going to love you in Jesus' name and get involved in your lives and help you. The help is well, like I said, I'm telling you, this is what they go through. So could you imagine? I was telling these guys, when I knew I was leaving camp, and I'm pretty networked, pretty educated, been here my whole life, I was still kind of nervous. You know, change is a different thing when you've been doing something for so long. You're kind of nervous. And then I think about what these folks are going through. Like, yeah, I'll just shut up about my whining, my first world problems here, because it's pretty amazing. So anyhow, World Relief, that's what we do in Spokane. We work with refugee resettlement in the name of Jesus, and we share our faith with them, and we want to, if they don't know Jesus, we want to know Jesus. We want to come alongside them. If they know Jesus, we want to get them plugged into the body of Christ right off the bat and get them involved. So Matt's going to come up and fire a few questions at me, and more of what we do with World Relief. And I'm so grateful you guys allowed me to come and share some of the ministry.
Yeah, thanks, Tim. As I was hearing you talk, I was thinking, we read a little bit of 1 John, and the high school boys and I have gone through 1 John. Some of them are memorizing portions of it, and some verses were coming to my mind. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 17, it says, "If anyone has the world's goods and sees their brother in need, yet closes their heart against them, how can the love of God abide in him?" I can see the boys reciting it too, so good job, guys. Also, it goes on, next chapter, it says in verse 12, it says, "No one has ever seen God." And this is how the love of God is perfected, that we love one another. And then a few verses later, it says that God's love is perfected in us so that we may stand on the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. And so there is the reality that we have an obligation to our brothers and sisters in Christ, but also there's people that have never, they don't know Christ, and we are the only way that they can see Christ here and now. So we have this obligation. The church is meant to be faithful in these times of need for those that are refugees here. I haven't been on this planet for very long, but I have, you know, lived through a variety of governmental administrations. And one thing I've come to learn is that the government is very fickle, but the people of God are called to be faithful.
Yeah.
And so can you tell us a little bit about the current situation going on with refugees here in Spokane?
Yeah, for sure. And I do want to say, you know, the neat thing about it, I read you Proverbs 22:9, the blessing, right? We know this. We're the ones missing out. And whether it's the homeless and you're involved with the Union Gospel Mission, World Relief, your neighbor, whatever, you are so blessed when you do it. It's nothing to feel guilty about if you haven't been involved, but it's you're missing out. In my experience, we're missing out when we're not living for others. I would tell my summer staff all the time and all my employees, I'd tell them, man, the most wonderful, happiest people I ever met and ever meet are the ones that live for others. And the most miserable people I ever meet are the ones that are just for themselves. So God's economy flips everything, right? So the current situation with World Relief is this. Throughout administrations, every year, every single year, the President of the United States decides how many refugees our country will allow in that year. Every year, that's the law, right? It's looked different throughout different administrations, and even within their four-year tenure or eight-year tenure, each year can look different. It hasn't been unusual for a presidency to come in and say, hey, we're going to take a 90-day pause on refugee resettlement. We got to kind of get a real feel for this, so we're going to hit a pause. We're not going to allow anybody for the next 90 days to come in. What's unique about this time that hasn't happened before is their funding for the people that have been here already, and there's a lot of people. There was 800 just in Spokane, just through World Relief. We're not the only agency in town. 800 refugees between December 1st and when they did a pause on January 27th. But they froze the money, the funding, the limited amount of money for these folks, which is not much. They were promised and told they would have. They froze that. Like, you're not getting it. And I'm talking, I think it's like $1,200 per person for 90 days, per month for 90 days. Try to do that on your at your house, right? That's been frozen. It's not available now. So Jesus stepped, I mean, man, I can't tell you. It's been amazing to see, because this is all new. This has never happened before. And to see the community step up and pitch in. Like, we helped in the last month. We were able locally raise funds, $36,000, to help these hundreds and hundreds of refugees not become homeless. Because that's their only, that's it. They don't have anything. They don't have anything. Right? So the people step up. But it's continuing. We don't know how long that pauses another 30 days, and then we don't know after 90 days. Nobody knows, you know. And 85% of World Relief funding is through the federal government. But understand this. They have hired World Relief to do all the heavy lifting. It is that way because they said, we're gonna let these people come to the United States. We're contracting with you to make sure that they make it. But we're only going to help you at a limited amount for 90 days. Man, I don't know about you guys. I got one that's about to graduate. I got two in college. That's pretty tough. And they've grown up here. and they got to try to make it and pay rent, you know, if they got to pay rent, all that stuff. So all that to say is right now that's where we're at. We have no control other than just prayer, you know.
And it's a real opportunity for the church to do what the church is supposed to do.
Yes.
And so it's actually a blessing in many ways that the church now can step in and do what the church is supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
And so how can the church do that? Tell us about Good Neighbor Teams and some ways the church can be involved.
So, and I got us at the back table there, I got us some resources and stuff. So what I've been doing, I've been at a church for the last, almost for the last month, I've been at a church every Sunday, and I got three more I'm going to. Now I was done with the camp, I thought I had weekends off. So anyhow, it's awesome. I feel very fortunate to get to do this and share this awesome opportunity. But what we do with World Relief, what we've been building and we have a bunch of, is partnering with the church to create what's called Good Neighbor Teams. And it's anywhere numbers from 6 to 10 is like the best amount of people, where they come alongside, and we've got three people on staff that work with volunteer teams that are connection, because all the families have somebody that's there that really supervises them and takes care of them. But then we have what we call good neighbor teams, where you come in group around 6 to 10, and we kind of spread out the service of taking on a family and saying, hey, you know what, we're going to help them. We're from New Creation. We would like to help with this family. And then you get communicated, you get onboarded, and then you're like, hey, we found out in 2 weeks that she needs help getting her kid to the doctor. Is anybody available on Tuesday, April, whatever, to get them to the doctor? She didn't have a way to get there. You know what I mean? So you come alongside them in various ways. You can teach them how to ride the bus. I just had two people sign up because they were really good at teaching English as a second language. They got to learn English. Get that? I mean, we got whole programs, and I met a guy Friday from Faith Bible. Him and his wife for years have been teaching our refugees how to speak English. Just volunteering, talk about patient. I met people, I met people that have taught them how to drive. And I said, I got four teenagers. I got one left, and we're riding. He's doing pretty good. And I'm done. I'll do other things. But there's so many ways to be involved and just come alongside people that really are extremely vulnerable. And they just need help. They don't even know how to shop. They hadn't seen a grocery store ever. They don't know. They just don't know. They, like I told you, the family's standing on the corner. They got no point of reference. They got nothing. So you can come alongside and show them how to shop, what to buy, where to get it, all kinds of stuff, money management, all that kind of stuff. So that's what we really love to do that. But we do have a lot of individuals that say, I met one lady, her passion is teach them how to ride the bus. She just volunteers, makes herself available. If you know anybody with World Relief, they need how to ride a bus, I'll show them how to navigate the bus system so we can at least get them around to places. Yeah.
Thanks, Tim. If you have any questions, I encourage you to go back and talk to Tim after the service and sign up to be a part of a Good Neighbor Team and get involved. Let's close in prayer, and then Barry will come and close the service. Lord, we thank you and praise you for who you are, and we thank you for World Relief and how you are using your people to do your work in your world, Lord. And so we ask that you would bless World Relief, that you would that you would embolden your people to be a light to those around them that are here as a result of all different tragedies throughout the world, Lord, and we have an opportunity to be a light, and also that we would just love our brothers and sisters in Christ that are here as well because of those reasons. Lord, bless World Relief, use them, and bless the rest of our day together. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.